We're going to read from Luke 11, and we're going to read verse 5 through to verse 13. If you have a Bible, it'd be great to open it. If not, there are some in the pews, so it'd be great if you could open your Bibles. If you don't have one and your neighbour has one, tell them to share with you. That'd be great. Ask them, sorry. This is Luke 11, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I wonder what presents that you've received, and maybe Steph or maybe Howard have received some presents over the last day or so. Well, I've received quite a few presents in my lifetime, and these are some memorable ones. Some people don't know what that is. You get a television in your house and you can plug it in. It's a games console. Others of you don't know what it is. Well, before the Xbox One, there was something called the Xbox 360. Before the Xbox 360, there was just the Xbox. Before the Xbox, there was something like the PlayStation. Before that, there was the N64. Before the N64, there was the SNES. Before the SNES, there was this, which is a NES, and that stands for Nintendo Entertainment System. And this really revolutionized gaming, because previously you had to wait ages for games to load as the tapes were turning round. But this made it instant. You plugged your cartridge in and away you went. And just wait till you see the graphics. How good is that? That's Mario, in case you don't recognize him. Super Mario. And there's a guy off something called Duck Hunt. And that was great. I think that's probably now, I don't know, 20, 23 years old, something like that, that games console. And that's one present that I remember and wasted many an hour playing Mario and Duck Hunt. Another present I received was a limousine. Always good till you have to park. Sorry, wrong picture. That's more like it. A limousine baby calf. That's not a picture of it. I received it when it was a baby. I lived on a farm, as many of you know, and I used to feed it by hand, and it grew to about this size, had its own baby calf, one of its own, and then it went to auction. I was a mercenary and bought a mountain bike, so that was the limousine. I also had a bow and arrow set at one point, not at the same time as having the cow. That would have been fatal. So I had a bow and arrow set. Used to go and practice, pretend to be Robin Hood and shoot straw bales and all sorts of different targets around the farm. Now I get things like this, which is great. That, I'm not sure what pointy people are trying to make. And then also legendary socks, not in those colours, but you certainly need those when you help at Prime on a Friday night and we take our shoes off downstairs and play football. And they soon get holes in them. So that's some of the presents I've received, and maybe you've received similar presents over your life. Well, today I want to tell you about the greatest gift you can receive. And this gift, it costs more than any other gift. It's more valuable than any other gift. It gives you more joy than any other gift. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It's something that has to be received as a gift. And we're going to think about where we get that gift from, and also we're going to think what that gift actually is. So our first point is that God is ready to answer our prayers, and that's code for God is the one who gives us the best gift. So God is ready to answer our prayers. I don't know if you noticed in this passage that we read, just open again to Luke 11. It's all about prayer. At the very beginning of the chapter, Jesus has taught his disciples a prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And this is something he was teaching them how to pray. And then he goes on to speak about praying, and he goes on to give us incentives why we should be those who pray. And this just flies in the face of those who say God isn't interested, that God doesn't listen, God doesn't care. Jesus is telling us he does care, he does listen, and he's ready to answer our prayers. And the first illustration Jesus gives us, you'll see it in verse 5, is all to do with persistence. This is my slightly modified version of that story. Imagine you have offered to give your friend a lift to a job interview. Now, the job interview is in the city, and to beat rush hour and to make a good impression and make sure you're not late, you have to set off at 5:30. So you promptly get up at 5 o'clock, you go out to the car, and shock horror, the interior light's been left on. You go and you try and start the car, and nothing happens, and it's a real disaster. But it's okay, because you have a spare battery, but you just need some jump leads, and you know that your neighbor has some. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, you go and hammer on your neighbor's door. Now, you know they're in because their car's in, and you ring the bell, and you keep knocking, and finally, your neighbor comes downstairs. They look a little bit sleepy, and you apologize, and you explain the situation, and you say, I just need to borrow some jump leads. And this neighbor of yours says, I'm going back to bed. My son borrowed the jump leads, and he's asleep, and I don't want to have to wake him up. I'm going back to bed. And he closes the door, but you knock again, and you keep knocking, and you keep ringing the bell. And finally, he gives in. Finally, he goes, and he wakes his son up, and he brings you the jump lead. Why did he get you the jump leads? Was it because he likes you? At that moment, he doesn't like you at all. Is it because you're his neighbor? No, he wishes he had a different neighbor. The reason he gets the jump leads is because of your boldness and because of your persistence. And what Jesus is saying is, now think about God. Fancy word coming up here. God is autonomous. That means God exists perfectly well on his own. He doesn't need food. He doesn't need air. This is just amazing. He doesn't need any of those things. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need warmth or shelter. He exists perfectly on his own. When he spoke, he made the universe. So God isn't short of anything. He doesn't need anything to survive, and he can speak and things just come into existence. So how much more will God be glad to give us things more than our grumpy next-door neighbor? Of course he will. In that story, Jesus is saying, your neighbor would give you those things. How much more will God give you things when you ask him? The second thing, and you'll see this later on in the passage, it was verses 11 through to verse 13, you'll see the second reason why God is a God who is ready to answer our prayers is all to do with relationship. So it's not about persistence anymore, it's to do with relationship. The other day I was speaking to someone, and they were saying how hard it is to see their children go through sicknesses and illness. And this person was saying how if they could, they'd be more than willing to take that sickness or that illness on behalf of their child. And I'm sure those of us who are parents feel the same way. See, as parents, you just want to do good for your children. You want to be able to give them good things and protect them from bad things. And Jesus is saying in verses 11 through, well, let's read them. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, so in comparison to God, it's our relationship is certainly not perfect. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the point of those verses is, as a parent wants to give good things to their children, how much more is God, who is perfect and loving and kind, going to give good gifts, good things to his children? I wonder this morning, when it's your birthday or when it's your when it's Christmas, who do you receive gifts of? Maybe your children, or maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe your friends, maybe your cousins. I wonder if anyone out of all them stands out as a good gift giver. Someone who gives you just the best presents every year. Well, this is telling us that God, he is the ultimate giver. He's kind, he is generous, he is quick to give. But also, second point, God is a God who gives the best gift. Now, this morning I brought something with me, and this was a gift that Sophia got, not from us, but from a neighbour a few doors down, a few Christmases ago, and they're still surviving. Does anyone know what these are? Yeah. Bubbles. Okay. I practiced at home, and I couldn't get any to come out. Normally, it's not a problem. Well, there we go. There's a bubble. There's some bubbles. That's a bit better. Look at that. Professional bubble blower. Since my contract's up for review. Here we go. Harold's now covered in bubbles. Now, what's the problem with bubbles? Does anyone know the problem with bubbles? They burst. All those bubbles have now made Harold's jeans a bit cleaner, but they've all gone. There was just some a moment ago. I saw some on the carpet, but now they're absolutely gone. Why? Because bubbles burst. Now, this is a problem with all presents. Remember those ones I mentioned earlier? Computer consoles, they either break or get outdated. Cows, they tend to become beef burgers or posh sofas. Bow and arrow sets. The string snap. Money, you spend it. Shower gel, well, it's only a temporary fix, isn't it? What about socks? Well, they get holes in them, like I've already mentioned. See, presents are like bubbles. They burst. They're gone. The other day, I was listening to a song called Dear Younger Me. Dear Younger Me. And the whole concept of that song was someone writing a letter to their younger self. And I just really got into the whole concept of that. I found it fascinating. And it made me think, if it was possible to send a letter back in time, what would I write on that letter to myself? Knowing what I know now, what would I send back to myself 10, 20 years ago? What would I write to myself? What would I want myself to know back then? That's a really interesting thing that you can think about. Well, one of the things that I'd certainly like to know is, don't pin all your hopes on presents and things. Don't pin all your hopes on Christmas and birthdays and what you're going to get, because all those things are just like those bubbles. Ultimately, they burst. So in this room this morning, if there's anyone that's doing that, don't do it. Don't pin all your hopes on those things, because they will burst. Presents and them bringing happiness is simply a mirage. They do momentarily or for a moment, but then it's gone. See, in our hearts, there is something that only God can fulfill. And please, adults, older people, don't just think this is children I'm talking to now, because we all crave so many things in life, don't we? It's not just presents. It can be any number of things. Things that we just set our focus on. Things that we just want, that we try and attain. But actually, it's only God that can bring fulfillment. Everything else is just like bubbles. Now, notice something as we read in Luke 11, verse 13. This is what I expect verse 13 to read like. Sorry if you can't see that too well. I expect it to read like this. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That's what I expect it to read like. I expect there's a bit of a parallelism going on there between parents giving good gifts to their children, and then God in heaven giving good gifts to us. But that's not how this verse reads. The verse actually reads like this. So you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now we're getting really to the heart of what Jesus is telling us. Jesus, in those verses, is not simply giving us an example of a good gift. Jesus is telling us what the best possible gift is. And that's the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, which is saying in different ways, being born again, being a Christian, having a relationship with him. Because receiving the Holy Spirit is how we become a Christian, how we go from death to life, how we go from darkness to light. The Holy Spirit enables us to live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. We could spend hours talking about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Now, some people think, I don't want to become a Christian, or I can't become a Christian because there is so much stuff in my life that I'm going to have to change. But the promise of the Bible is, God's promise to us is that He comes to live in us by His Spirit. He's the one that changes our hearts and enables us to live the Christian life. See, it is impossible to live the Christian life on our own. It is. Not just difficult, it's impossible. We can only do it through God living in us. Receiving the Holy Spirit is the best thing that we can ever, the best person we can ever have to come and live in our lives. Earlier I said it was the most costly. He is the most costly present. It doesn't cost us anything. But the Holy Spirit coming to live in our lives, for that to be possible, because He is a Holy Spirit, we need to be made holy. And that cost Jesus His life. He died so we could be forgiven, so the Holy Spirit could dwell in us. I wonder what you are like at waiting for Christmas. I wonder what you're like at waiting for a package to arrive. I wonder what you're like at waiting to go on holiday. All those things probably excite you so, so much. But those things are nothing in comparison to receiving the Holy Spirit. He's the best gift we can ever receive. Now, the big question is, what are we going to do with what we've heard this morning? If God is a God who likes to give gifts, who just gives gifts to those who ask, and if the Holy Spirit is the best gift we can receive, what are we to do? Well, the answer comes in verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus tells us what we're to do with what He's telling us. He says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." So it's really, really simple and straightforward. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to ask. Receiving the best present ever comes from simply asking God. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to ask. I'm going to pray. And this is a prayer for those who aren't already Christians, but it's also a prayer for those who are, that we will know more of God's presence in our lives. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to pray, and then if you want to pray it with me in your heart, you can do. I'm just going to simply pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you're a God who's ready to answer our prayers. Thank you that you want to give us the best gift ever, which is the Holy Spirit. Today I pray that you would give me the Holy Spirit, that He would make a difference in my life. He would change me and make me more like Jesus. I'm sorry for going my own way. Please help me to live your way. Thank you that Jesus died so that I can be forgiven for all the times when I've done things wrong. Amen. It's a really simple prayer. So if you want to pray it, bow your heads, and I'm going to pray. And if you want to make it your own prayer, just say it in your heart. Father in heaven, thank you that you are a God who is ready and willing to answer our prayers. Thank you that you want to give us the best gift possible, which is the person of the Holy Spirit. Today, I pray that you would give me the Holy Spirit, that He would make a difference in my life, that He would change me and make me more like Jesus. I'm sorry for following my own way. Please help me to live your way. Thank you that Jesus died so that I can be forgiven for all the times I've done things wrong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.